WrestleTalk.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Oh.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom. Or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull that bus over, I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard!
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. There's no pay-per-view tonight, so I have nothing clever to intro with. I am Omega, the be-all and all of the WTR Network. Joining me tonight, Mace.
Where's my Japanese Bugman game?
Wait, it'll be there. It'll be there.
I bought it with the driver since 6:30 this morning. It is almost, well, it's after 12.
Well, obviously, he has stolen it and he's playing it right now.
Asshole. I might have to punish him like you do your mailman.
But hey, you found another Bugman fan.
I did. Anyway.
Well, also joining us, the Bugman-less Canadian himself, Tim Stein.
Bugman-less?
Bugman-less. You have no Bugman.
No, but I got a lot of bugs in, like, around the area here.
Do they ride motorcycles?
After the rains that we've had over the last 3 days, the mosquitoes are going to be big enough to be able to.
This could be fun.
You're going to be seeing bloodsuckers on Harley Davidsons all up and down the street, man.
Okay, Mace, I've got a movie in mind, and I think we just found out where the monsters are coming from.
Yep. Let's work on that.
Right.
Give me the... Whoa. I want a synopsis.
Buys anything.
I want a synopsis right now.
No. We do this the modern way. We start a Kickstarter, we make a bunch of promises, and then we deliver half-assed results.
You've got to produce a treatment first.
Says who?
Says the rules.
I see no
especially,
rules.
Especially if it's going to wind up being half-assed, you need a treatment first.
Do not get in my way to beg for money.
Have you not seen the movie Piranha 3DD?
No, I have taste in my movies.
Well, if you want a half-assed movie, that would be a good one to copy.
No, I know half-assed movies. I've seen Aragon.
There you go. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Rush Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Last couple of weeks, the producers have been playing some fucked up music. Tonight he opens up with something semi-normal. However, Jenny, whatever the name of the song is, by Tommy Two Tone. That was a 1980s one-hit wonder. And I'm almost willing to bet that that's what we're going to be inundated with all night long, guys. One-hit wonders from the 80s. Watch him play Rockwell next.
Get ready for Right Said Fred.
Yep. What else? Dexy's Midnight Runners.
MC Hammer.
Okay, well, yeah. Eminem. No, not Eminem. Yeah, that'd be good.
The other original, white rapper.
Yeah, the original Eminem.
Vanilla Ice.
Thank you. The original
Eminem.
I think
to begin with, though.
Yeah. And then, yeah, King Kittens is contributing Aha with Take On Me. On the strength of one song, this group was given the nod when the Olympics were held in Norway to be the official band. And as soon as they were made the official band of the Olympics, like literally a week later, they broke up.
Shit, we've got to think of more than one song. Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, hey, the video was good.
The video was awesome.
The video was so good, it was parodied on Family Guy.
Because that's a show of quality.
Yeah, there you go. You know you did something good if Family Guy parodies you.
Oh, yeah.
So, wait a minute. Right Said Fred, that was like 1992. That wouldn't count as a 1980s one-hit wonder, I guess.
Like anyone really remembers.
Well, Jersey Girl does. She's the one who pointed it out in the chat.
Yeah, Jersey Girl's on Wikipedia right now. I guarantee it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, there you go. Wikipedia is your friend. Just don't put your faith in it. Well, that's all I can tell you. So, might as well talk wrestling because that's what people expect us to do. And we might as well basically start off with this new Paul Heyman guy. How disappointed were you, Omega?
What? Because the entire internet wrestling community was lighting up with RVD?
Uh-huh.
And the fact he was trending worldwide the entire night before Raw? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Honestly, I never felt like it would be RVD. I was hopeful, but I knew better.
Okay.
Because, you know, If we're introducing the new Heyman guy, I mean, everyone knows RVD's the Heyman guy already. There's no real shock or surprise there. And people would pop to see him come back, but it wouldn't be that landmark because it's just some guy coming back.
Uh huh.
So honestly, I'm kind of glad they went with an approach that wasn't so obvious.
Well, I couldn't, to tell you the truth, I can't see RVD being your typical Paul. Yeah, he's Paul Heyman guy, but I can't see him be WWE's current version of a Paul Heyman guy, a la CM Punk, and to a lesser successful extent, Brock Lesnar.
Well, he's already... you could spin it to say he's already been there. I mean, he's the only guy to ever hold two world championships at the same time. He's a Grand Slam champion.
Mm-hmm.
And you could play something to where, well, he's already got the credentials of a Heyman guy.
Yeah.
But again, you're taking the easy way out to do it that way.
Well, you know, if you brought him in, wouldn't it be a nice little swerve? Oh, the latest Paul Heyman guy, and you know, one of a kind. Out comes Rob Van Dam, and he gets on the mic and starts talking about how he's not really too cool with the way Heyman's been since he's come back to WWE, blah, 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 blah. He's a Paul Heyman guy, but he's not joining the stable.
Well, it would be.
That would be instant feud with CM Punk when CM Punk returns, don't you think, Mace?
Yeah, it would be, but do we really need to set up CM Punk? Let's face it, the guy's not coming back for a while, so let's put that right out of our minds.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you know.
I'll be honest with this entire thing. I was a bit meh at first.
Uh huh.
Then I went back and watched it and went, you know what? If there's any way we're going to be able to get this kid's career off the ground after that horrible, horrible start that he had,
Yeah?
This is going to be the thing that does it.
Okay, well, let's talk about the kid. He was known as Michael McGillicuddy. Now he's Curtis Axel. What do you think of the name, guys?
Beats the hell out of Michael McGillicuddy.
Almost yeah. anything.
Michael McGillicuddy is your sitcom neighbor. He's not a pro wrestler.
All yeah, okay, all of a sudden, like, Home Improvement flashes in my head. Thanks a lot.
No, I was thinking about Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers. Look, boys and girls, it's Michael McGillicuddy. Welcome, Michael, to my neighborhood. Wouldn't you be my neighbor? Oh, my God. Shit. I got a problem with the name. I don't know what it is.
I think the Curtis kind of takes a little bit of the sting out of the name. Kurt Axel was much sharper, much more direct.
You know what? Kurt Axel. That actually does have a better ring to it.
Or well, they could have just called him Axel Henning.
I think the whole idea was to not have Hennig as part of it, because he's paying tribute, but he's also making his own claim in the WWE.
Now you just mentioned something that he's meant to be making his own claim and everything. Even Heyman brought this up. He's like, this guy is going to make his own legend. He's going to create his own name, his own this and that. Everything about the kid's borrowed from his family.
Right, yeah, both he's got the remix theme music.
The remix music, both parts of the name. So for somebody who's supposed to be creating his own niche, he's really taking a lot of the previous credibility from his family.
Well, here it is. It opens the door for
him. It's one thing that I've always said that guys like this need to do is make a play off their father's careers.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Let's get that out of the way before people try to cram that one down my throat.
It opens the door for him, and now he's got to walk through it.
Well, here's what it does. And honestly, and it's rare for a Heyman promo to do this, but this could have been spun if he just worded it better. Because it's not so much that, it's that they gave me a name that told you nothing of who I am, and they tried to disguise my legacy. They didn't want you to know who I was. Well, I've chosen my own name, so you know exactly who the hell I am. But I don't need the name Hennig to get where I'm going to go.
There you are.
It should have had an air of defiance to force the name of his father and his grandfather into who he was, but still go, I don't need the Hennig legacy. You know what? You'll know where I came from, but where I go, that's up to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, shorten it down to Kurt from Curtis probably will wind up helping, and time will tell whether or not they do that. I hope they do.
Well, when he first came out, his Titantron said Kurt.
Yeah.
And then it was immediately changed to Kurt. It's like they changed it just before Heyman went out the curtain.
Well, what if everybody calls him Kurt except for Heyman sticks with Curtis?
Sorry, he's on the Titantron again. Like, literally, he's the first guy to debut with two different Titantrons.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, let's go with what's on the big screen, because that's what people will remember, because that's what they look at when the music starts up.
Mm-hmm.
And if the first thing they're going to see is Kurt, well, then let's go with Kurt.
Well, let's actually talk about the remixed music. What did you think of that?
Very well done.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to figure out it was Mr. Perfect's intro reworked?
About 14 seconds, because I'm sitting there listening to it going, I know this music, but somebody just changed the beat. What's this music? Wait a minute. That's Kurt Hennig's music. This must be McGillicuddy.
Right. Once it gets through that first stanza and you really start to hear that Mr. Perfect theme in there, then it's like, oh.
Yeah. Well, I pretty much went through the exact same thing. That Mace did. That's familiar. What the hell? And then you, oh! There it is, Mr. Perfect. Okay. And look at our producer being on the ball.
It's got a beat. You can dance to it now.
Yeah, give it a 65, hey?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. No, it sounds good. I like it.
That's the thing. I could actually hear that being played in clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And people dancing like morons to it.
Well, speaking as the former...
At least they didn't go overboard and make dubstep version of it.
Well, you know, speaking as a former nightclub DJ, I could actually take that music and sample it with some of the current dance music that I would be playing. And it would, you know, I'd make it fit in perfectly. The only thing I would need to know is the current beats per minute. And then, boom, no problem at all. So, yeah, that would work. Good call, Mace. Good ear.
Well, considering I too have a small history in music and, you know, well, mainly karaoke and stuff like that, I do have a decent ear for music.
What, were you a karaoke host or just a singer?
The old man ran the company. I've hosted and sung and judged competitions and stuff like that. So,
you know, there are some days I find it rather annoying how much you and I have in common.
I call that every Sunday, Tim.
Problematical, that's all it is. No, I'm just kidding. Just whatever. So. Okay, so he gets thrown into a match Monday night against Triple H. What did the, and everybody's freaking around, oh great, well great, you bring him out just to fuck him over. What did the match Monday night do for him?
Sweet fuck all.
Did it hurt him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did it hurt him?
This is a guy who couldn't get a decent offense going on a half brain dead Triple H.
Yeah. Half brain dead.
even if it's triple fucking H, it's still you're still running with this post concussion syndrome line, and they're spinning it on SmackDown as the guy who put down Triple H, which is fine if he got more than like three punches in during the whole thing.
Yeah.
But, when Triple H is that badly hurt, when the doctors are telling him, no, you're too banged up, and he's got concussions, and he still can't get a decent offense on him.
Well, that just comes across to me as Triple H saying, well, you know what, we got to figure out some way of letting this kid not get his ass kicked, but I'm not going to do the job for him.
And that's pretty much how it came out in my eyes. It's like, I want to put the kid over, but I don't want to have to job to him.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, because they could have run with this storyline, and it would have had so much more impact, and especially being a boost to a guy who's, well, quote-unquote, debuting.
Yeah.
And, you know, that would have been a really good launching point, and it would have given him a really good sort of, like, a stance to take for the next few months of, I'm the guy who put out Triple H. You know, and you have Heyman in the background going, yeah, that's right, yeah. You know, the same thing he did with CM Punk. And that would start building the guy. Sure, it would inevitably end up with Triple H coming back and kicking the shit out of him, but at least it gives the guy a bit more credibility than, I got three punches in on Triple H and then he fell over. Yay, right. I did it. No, there's a guy standing behind you called Brock Lesnar going, hey kid, I did that the night before.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. Do not take credit for my kill.
Yeah.
Yeah, no Hunter really enjoys that. It would have, all he really needed to do was hit like one big move to the head, or, you know, even one of those fake ass chair shots they use now probably would have done it. Just something you could have clipped into a highlight reel and kind of spun it to where it looked like he actually has something to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, and instead, all you did was just see, you know, basically the aftershocks of the Brock match, which says nothing about Kurt Axel.
So, yeah, the big story is Triple H pretending he's got a concussion. Now, after that on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that, I've heard a lot of people bitching and moaning and complaining. Basically calling Triple H out, saying that was a really, really piss-poor job of acting like you have a concussion. Oh. Speaking as one who has had several concussions, I think he did really good. He had the, like, stupid look in his face, like, who the fuck are you? No, seriously, I mean it. Who are you? At that one point, when he's on his ass right in front of the play-by-play guys.
Oh, no, the best one came, this is the thing, the best one came, and I hate to say this, on the WWE app, but they kept with him for about 5 minutes after the show went off the air on the app.
Yeah.
The doc asked Triple H, what do you remember? Triple H looks at him and goes, I remember coming through the curtain, and that's it.
Yeah.
The doctor then asks him, do you remember who you're going up against tonight? And he stops for a minute, looks at the doctor and goes, isn't it Kurt's kid with a new name?
You see, that's the one part that, in my opinion, he fucked up.
He couldn't even remember the new name or the guy at all. Believe me, it's very weird for a concussion to play 24 hours after. But, yeah, he did very well on selling it. Like, it was definitely believable. And anybody who is saying different obviously has never had a fucking concussion in their life.
Well, yeah. I've come across people who have shown delayed symptoms. They don't notice it for 24 hours. When I was playing, major junior hockey and stuff like that, a few times I've had a few teammates who had their bells rung. And, back then you didn't get a concussion. You just had your bell rung and then you went, you took 5 minutes and a couple of aspirin, then you went back out on the ice and finished the hockey game. After the game is over, you say, I got a headache from that, blah, 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 but we talk about the game. The next day at practice, it's like, did we have a game yesterday? I don't remember anything.
Yeah, but so. Delayed reactions like that aren't exactly common. But,
no, they're not.
But yeah, it just sort of adds to it.
Yeah, so I didn't have much of a problem with how he portrayed it, I guess is the best way to put it. So what are they going to do with Triple H now?
Shelve him for a while.
Just like what happened.
Isn't that the popular thing to do these days?
Well, he's got to be running the company. He can't be busy wrestling all the time because, it's really bad if your booker is in the ring, because at some point in time, he's going to give himself the title.
Sorry. Bit of a cough going around.
Plus, hasn't Triple H still got an office to rebuild?
Yeah, there you go, that closet space.
You mean the set provided by IKEA?
Yeah.
Oh,
We can go and build it with this stuff. It's only going to cost $350. I can go to the IKEA. I hate going to IKEA. I get lost.
Surprisingly enough, I have never been to IKEA in my life, and I never planned to.
Oh, it's annoying as hell. It's Swiss Nazism, I swear to God. You walk in the doors. You can't walk around the store randomly. You've got to follow the arrows and the lines painted on the floor, and it's designed for you to see every single fucking thing they sell one piece at a time.
Yeah, fuck that.
Seriously, that's how IKEA works. And then you try to find the restaurant or whatever you want to get a hot dog while the other half shops. It takes you like 45 minutes from the time you walk into the door to finally get to the open area where they've got the restaurant set up or the cafeteria or whatever the hell it calls. Yeah, to answer Lindsay, I don't mean that I get lost. I mean, like, you walk in there, you get lost because you have to follow all the lines and shit like that and you can't do what you want. Jesus Christ. Anyway.
Yeah.
just ignore the IKEA. So, Yeah. So I guess we won't be seeing Triple H do much of anything for the next several months, probably leading up into SummerSlam.
If we get anything, we get some sort of medical update. That's it. And that's all you really need to do at this stage with Triple H. Because you want to show the seriousness of the whole concussion deal. You don't want to, you know, have it be a John Cena thing where he continues wrestling or he takes a week off and then comes back. You know, they've always said that the concussions are a serious issue in wrestling. Now's your chance to show the fans and educate the fans on the issues with concussions.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that by putting Triple H on the shelf.
And bringing in Chris Nowinski.
No, we don't bring in Chris Nowinski. Because I actually want to stay awake.
Okay, there you go.
You put Triple H on the shelf, you do little medical updates every now and again. You know, you keep him on the shelf for 6-7 months, and during that time, you get doctors during the medical reports to explain what has happened and the effects on the brain.
Mm-hmm.
That way you have a very good learning experience for the crowd. Well, for the people watching at home.
Now, yeah.
How about...
Go ahead, Omega.
How about you make it a week...
No, Omega, we're not using sock puppets.
Damn! No.
There
how
goes
about...
lamp chop.
No. How about you make it like a running segment every week where you have like, you know, the recovery meter where, okay, here's how long Triple H is, here's how long CM Punk is, here's how long Evan Bourne is, here's how long Rey Mysterio is.
Oh my god.
Like little meters with their heads that just go across the screen. 20%, 30%, 40%.
Yeah, turn it into the video game experience.
Could you just imagine that the Rey Mysterio one would be like 10%, 20, 30, 40, 88, 99, 99 cents?
God, finish downloading. No. It's the Mysterio meter. Like, you don't ever take him off of that meter because he's never recovered.
You kind of stall it at 50% with the, you know, the circle.
Yeah, it's just that little loop going, processing.
I could almost see that working, too.
The Triple H is at 40%. You know, Evan Bourne's at, like, 80 right now. And then CM Punk's probably about 40. Yeah. You open up Rey Mysterio's line of question marks.
Well, with Sin Cara, wouldn't you be counting down to the next injury instead of recovery?
That's what the WWE needs. Instead of those little, hey, did you know? Once a week, it should go, we've gone 14 days without a major injury.
And when they do get a major injury, you have like a little a digital person come on the screen and just rub it out and put zero.
And write zero on it.
Well, that's the funny. That's the funny thing. Yeah. When they have that, segment planned, and just before, let's say the Miz blows his knee the match before, and they have to put 12 minutes since the last major injury. Don't try it at home, kids.
Yeah, stay away from that. They're trained professionals. All right, let's move on and talk about the ambulance match coming. What do you guys
think
about
this? Speaking of prolonged
injury. Yeah, ambulance match between Cena and Reback. Good idea?
I really don't like ambulance matches in the first place.
There is one I think I've ever seen that I liked, and it involved Stone Cold.
Jeez. An ambulance match is basically just another form of, what do I call it? A capture match where, whether you're burying them alive or putting them in a coffin or a cage or whatever, you know, it's where the object is to basically imprison and incapacitate your opponent so they can't escape.
Oh, come on. Like, you wouldn't think of that. John Cena beats the crap out of Ryback and then throws a Pokeball at him.
God, I hope he evolves into something smarter.
Oh.
No, but it's basically those types of matches, except the way the ambulance works. Okay, like, you get him on the gurney, you shove the gurney in there, and you close the match. It's much harder and much less dramatic to actually counter it than it is, you know, a casket, you know, where, you know, they're lying there and you can see them get their hands up and hold it open, or you could actually have them, like, brawling. We've had them brawling inside the casket before. You know, it's just, the ambulance, just the way it's structured, just doesn't provide that level of drama. Not to mention, you're pretty much guaranteed that, well, you know, eventually, you know, there's no illusion of, well, this match could go back to the ring, or that. No. It's going to go to the ambulance, and they're going to wrestle around a vehicle for 20 minutes.
Power slam on the roof.
No, awesome bomb. Always works on roofs.
There you go. The awesome bomb. Yeah, I'm not really looking forward to it. It holds nothing for me.
It was they pretty much did this because they had nowhere else to go.
I think that's right. I think that's exactly it.
After you have an Extreme Rules match where there are no rules and you can beat the absolute living crap out of each other, where do you go from there? You have very few choices. You either go ambulance match, Hell in a Cell, or buried alive casket match.
I would have voted for the Hell in the Cell, except for one thing. The people involved. Yeah, exactly. It's Ryback and Cena. No, don't do it.
Plus, we already had Hell in a Cell recently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't really want to break that out because, you know, we're dedicating an entire pay-per-view to that shit.
They really don't have anybody right now to go up against Cena for the title, do they?
See, there I go again. That's what my big annoyance with the gimmick pay-per-views. You can't just break out the Hell in the Cell as the big end-all because, no, we gotta save it for the event. Fuck off. You're completely killing the ominous threat of the Hell in the Cell by fucking scheduling it.
Don't mention the stipulation until the night of the pay-per-view. Halfway through.
Well, the theme of this
I think the giant cage over the ring would give it away.
Yeah. So the theme of this is supposed to be payback. I don't know, a judge, jury, executioner match? I don't know. Judge they come to the ring with lawyers?
Judge Dredd on a pole match.
I am the law.
Well, one side gets Judge Dredd, the other side gets Punisher.
Oh, God.
Damn. But the thing is, nobody wins and the crowd will be dead.
Superhero on a pole match.
No. You go Judge Dredd and Punisher. Trust me. Okay. The body count will be worth it.
I was thinking, Iron Man.
Ryback's in the ring going, I'm the only one not a superhero in this match.
Well, I was thinking Iron Man and Batman. Two normal guys that have all of these really wonderful toys.
Yeah, Batman would hack the suit in it and it'd be over.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you gave Batman a week to plan. This is not a match anymore.
Yeah, okay. How many people are with me when they never want to see a DC Marvel crossover?
We already had one.
I don't ever want to see it again. Just saying.
Spider-Man has some good ones.
No.
Of course, they tried to put Superman and Spider-Man because they're the big sellers, but guess what? They basically turned Spider-Man into the sidekick. Fucking embarrassing.
That's terrible. Bob Kane must have been really happy.
I'm gonna go take out Lex Luthor and the Green Goblin at the same time. You tap on that computer for a little while and pretend like you're important to the story. Okay, soups. Fucking
soups.
Yeah.
Soups?
God. Jimmy fucking Olsen had more importance to the story.
Boy, so Marvel true. Fucked up on that one, didn't they? So. Alright, well, there you go. You know, ambulance match coming up for Payback, or whatever the fuck you're calling it. And I think what's coming up now is our first break of the evening. I think that might be a good idea. And, of course, we got a whole hell of a lot more to talk about. Don't forget, everybody, it is the beginning of the new Pick'em tonight. The TNA Slammiversary Pick'em starts this evening. Once again, you just got to pick who you think is going to win, and you could win something. We'll let you know what that is coming up. In the meantime, we'll be back right after this.
Pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the War Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather for dying. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, oh, you fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway.
They're not open.
What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open? Hell yeah. Oh my god. All right. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. That's some biz. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street. Steve, man, somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, it's fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... about defiled by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rack.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rack.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
Hey everybody, this is Joseph Park from Impact Wrestling, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We can leave your friends behind, 'cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, places they will never find, and we can act like we come from out of this world, we leave no one far behind.
All right, I'm calling shenanigans on this 80s one-hit wonder stuff, because Men Without Hats, they had 3 hit songs and games, not one.
Yes, but Safety Dance is the one anyone remembers.
The Biodome flashbacks. Pauly Shore trying to be funny. No,
don't worry. The only good movie Pauly Shore was in was Encino Man, and it was only good because of Brendan Fraser. Not because of Wally Shore.
Casino Man.
It was a good movie. You don't think so?
You just liked it because it reminded you of your youth.
Get some grindage on the nerves, buddy.
Rock, reset the counter.
Yeah, never, ever talk like that. What do you mean reset the counter? What the fuck are you guys up to behind my backs?
Backs?
Yes, I've got 2 backs.
And now the show has died.
Completely. Let's talk about the WWE is actively working on recruiting cut NFL players. What do you think of this?
Why?
How many football players successfully transitioned into being professional wrestlers?
2.
1.
Brian Pillman.
2.
Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
Steve McMichael was a...
No, he was not successful.
He wasn't successful.
Successful. I'm counting Bill Goldberg, and I'm being generous about that one.
Okay, so Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
So the 4.
You see, you guys interrupted me when I was going to say McMichaels was not successful in either sport.
Didn't he have one of them Super Bowl ring things?
Yeah, but you can be a water boy on the team and get one of those.
Yeah, well, look at Dwayne Johnson. He's got a CFL championship ring just because he was on the practice roster of the 1992 Calgary Stampeders. Does that count? He never played a game. He sucked. CFL, Canadian Football League. Shut up, Rock. It's still football.
Canadian football?
Yeah, started up. Don't you have Australian football?
Yes, but it's a completely different game, not a ripoff of the American version.
Well, this is not a ripoff of the American version. Canadian football has been around longer than American football.
According to Canadians.
according to reality. Anyway, I don't see this being worth their while.
Stupid idea.
Yeah. You haven't been able to produce any stars out of trained wrestlers. What makes you think you're going to get stars out of guys who've never been in the ring before?
Oh. Yeah,
you've also got to think about it this way. They're wanting to recruit cut players. These are guys that are not able to play football in America.
Not good
enough.
Which
does require a lot of stamina.
But
wrestling requires even more.
But look at the guy they just signed who went through that exact experience. It's Brock Lesnar. What a boon that was.
Yeah.
Complete failure at football. Well, he can pull money as a wrestler. Why not?
Well, Brock Lesnar is only a failure in football because he's a spoiled brat and didn't want to go through what he needed to go through to be successful.
Plus, you got to realize Lesnar went for football after wrestling.
Yeah. Well, see, if you dissect the joke, then you get to the logic.
It winds up not being funny. Yeah, it just fucks it up.
Thank you very much, Mace.
See, at least I'm not being blamed for it.
Fuck you, I'm a bear.
Fuck you, I'm a bear. Fuck you, I'm Spider-Man.
Oh no, we got some beauties last night. But anyway. this bad move. Bad move.
Bad move, yeah.
Because all you're gonna do is, and again, this is probably because I've got a feeling that Vince still has a hand in this. Vince wants refrigerator-sized men that can push each other around and beat the shit out of each other. Not
anybody else kind of sort of raise their eyebrow over the fact that Vince likes big guys?
This is not anything new. You gotta remember, this is the guy who tried to do the World Bodybuilding Federation.
Yeah. And the XFL. Which I like to refer to as the X-awful.
And the counter resets again.
Fuck off with you and your counter reset bullshit.
Yeah. Okay, Rock, what you need to do is take the little video window. You just need to page it over to like a stopwatch online or something, and then just hit reset.
Hey, we're having fun, Tim. Leave us alone.
No, you're not.
Oh, we are. We're having a lot of fun.
No, you're not allowed to.
Well, fuck you then. but yeah, this
evil
is
apples to apples.
All this ends up being is you have a bunch of guys who can't move that look like refrigerators with legs, and then we just get bored shitless.
Uh huh.
Wrestling today requires probably more stamina than what the average NFL player is capable.
Well, should the WWE be targeting other sports? And if so, what sports?
Let's see. Instead of targeting other sports, they should look at the indies.
Thank you.
Look at the independents. Look at the guys, they're building this gigantic training facility. How about you, train people there instead of pulling them from other fucking sports that they failed at.
That makes too much sense. Jeez. What the fuck are you doing?
It's like the WWE just kind of looked on the internet and said, okay, what indie stars are popular? What are some big deals are there? Well, we got this guy like Bryan Danielson and CM Punk, they're really, okay, let's sign a wrestler. Oh my god, they're skinny. Who the fuck are these guys? Okay. Because they've honestly been trying to get some indie talent in there. I mean, it's what NXT is right now. I mean, that's what the Shield was.
Yeah.
So they've tried, not that hard, but they've tried. It's like they took one attempt and went, we're getting a bunch of stick people. Can we get some, let's go back to the old fashioned methods and just get some really big guys and pray to God they can actually work.
idea, because, you know, that worked so well when you brought in guys like, you know, Ezekiel Jackson, Monty Brown, you know, Ahmed Johnson, you know, all guys that would have done great as, you know, football players, because they have that bulk and they know how to shove people around, but they had absolutely no cardio whatsoever and could only wrestle for 3 minutes at a time. Because people seem to gravitate to that type of person. You know, the ones that only last for 3 minutes and then die.
Yeah, if you get put in a match with the likes of Brodus Clay and you're gassed before he is, you shouldn't be working.
Pretty much.
Waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So WWE has gone through a round of cuts the last couple of weeks, you guys noticed. A lot of NXT guys and gals have been released.
We didn't really notice.
Oh.
I'd have to watch NXT.
Yeah, we don't really pay attention to NXT. Yeah.
Hold on. Who were the only two, like, notable ones? I think it was, like, Sakamoto was one of them.
Yes.
And the rest were a bunch of, like, nobodies that had only been, like, one or two matches on NXT. Yet somehow Yoshi still has a job.
Yeah, pretty much. Dolph Ziggler's brother was cut.
It's such a bad move. You let Kurt Angle's brother wrestle, for crying out loud, just because you had his brother. When that's your next big star, why wouldn't you hire anyone who was related to him?
Well,
just in case you need him.
Maybe nowadays you just like, they're like, oh, God damn it, you suck. Fuck it. We got bigger stars than Dolph Ziggler. He's not that important to us. Just saying.
Didn't they get rid of some, like, Ukrainian chick that broke her arm?
I think they cut three girls in total, and that was one of them.
Yeah, that was still on the fucking roster.
There you go. These NXT cuts, are we gonna start seeing main roster cuts coming up? Who do you think might be, cut?
I think, if anything, they're not really gonna cut the main roster. And if they've just laid off, like, I think it was seven or nine people from the NXT roster, they're just looking to bring in the next round of graduates up to NXT.
Okay.
That's all.
They're making room in NXT is what they're doing, in other words. So guys like Zack Ryder can still pick up a paycheck.
Yeah. You know, guys like Yuji Tatsu and Zack Ryder still have a place to go.
Yeah.
But they've just hired on a whole heap of new guys from independents and everything. So they're really just making room to get some of these new guys on television and see if they'll work.
Okay. So yeah, nobody's expecting any main roster cuts, but you never know. It's WWE. We might see a few between now and July.
Hey, I was quite surprised. I actually decided to watch NXT the other day, just in time to see the debut of El Generico.
Oh yeah, and how did he do?
Extremely well for getting squashed he got squashed in like 30 seconds against Cesaro, but. Well, that was in his second match of the night.
El Generico was up here in Calgary wrestling twice in 2 months, in January for Heart Legacy and then in February for Next Generation Wrestling. And he was in, like, multi-tag matches both times. And both times he's the one who stood out, at least to me.
Yeah.
And he should have been in a single.
No wonder he wears the mask. He's an ugly bugger.
I've seen better looking people.
He's ugly.
Yeah, so there you go.
Not you know, early abyss levels, but yeah.
Oh. Moving on to the next one. Now that they've forced Big E Langston, by necessity to actually get in the ring and, have some wrestling matches, what do you figure is next for him? Will they go backwards once Dolph's all healed and can come back and take him back out of the ring, or can they not do that now?
Tag team him. Him and Dolph.
No.
Stone to bring Dolph back in the ring slowly.
No, for a little while, yeah.
Yeah.
No. You see, before this, I would have suggested you power team them, because you've got AJ who's going after the Divas Championship now, and she's kind of a shoo-in to win it because she's the only diva doing anything interesting. You know, Big E, I mean, it wouldn't be that hard to get the IC belt on him. And that would work, except you've got the same thing going on with the Shield right now. Between the two, they'd pretty much be running the table on titles.
Yeah.
Not that I would mind. You'd actually have belts on young, talented stars. Imagine that.
That sounds just freaky.
And I'll be honest, Big E can actually go. The main event that I watched on NXT was Big E versus Damian Sandow for the NXT title.
Yeah.
And the guy actually does something. He actually has a voice. I didn't realize that. But it's weird watching him on NXT and then seeing him on Raw. It's almost like two different characters, really.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I like the one on NXT better. Because he actually does something. He's not that big silent guy. He actually has a little bit of charisma in him.
Big E Langston is ratings.
This is where NXT actually has such a big advantage, because you give him the chance to actually work that up and to get his character out and his charisma out. Meanwhile, you focus on other things when he's over at Raw on, in a bigger stage, more people, you build him a little bit more slowly. Okay, right now he's the silent muscle behind Dolph Ziggler, and he does a great freaking job at it because the guy's built like a brick shithouse. But when it's time to break away, when it's time for him to go solo and be his own character, he's already got all the build you need. He's already got all the practice that's going to make sure he can stand on his own. Mm-hmm. So he can break off into a character, and it will be a big thing because, oh my, he was just a silent guy, and now he's like this charismatic thing. When did that happen?
And to be honest, if you're going to turn anybody face when Ziggler returns, you turn Big E face.
You don't turn Ziggler face? Isn't it time that he goes baby face?
Keep him as a weaselly little motherfucker.
Doesn't matter how popular he is with the crowd?
It doesn't matter. CM Punk was a heel for how long, and he's still one of the most over guys in the company?
True.
Yeah.
Okay.
True. But keep in mind, he played the face before that, though, and he spent half his title run as the face. Dolph Ziggler, since the first time he stepped onto WWE television, he's been a heel, whether it was Spirit Squad or Dolph Ziggler. You know, he's never had the chance to really play face, but he's got the popularity and the charisma right now to do it if they wanted to. Now, I think you give his current world heavyweight run, you see that to completion. You know, you go where you can with it, drop the belt, do a redemption angle to bring him back up as a face.
Okay.
But until then, yeah, weaselly little heel.
I say keep him with AJ, and he can be a weaselly little prick. I worry about any time somebody goes, oh, put Ziggler as a face. He's got the charisma, this, that, and the other. So did The Miz. And how often has a Miz face turn actually resulted in anything?
I still say Miz is still one of those victims of the whole Laurinaitis situation.
Probably.
Where you just had injuries and creep up that back that shelved plans, and they went, we don't know what to do with you now, so, yeah, you're working dark matches. Like, he lost a... That's really what killed his momentum out of WrestleMania, when they paired him up with R-Truth and put... And there was supposed to be this huge faction taking over the WWE, and nope, Kevin Nash can't wrestle, so all those plans got kind of squashed, and we just kind of have to shove this under the rug now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was supposed to be this huge thing that he was supposed to be in the center of, and it completely collapsed, and he hasn't managed to get back up there since.
Fully and totally really, imploded.
Yeah, which is really unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's just a case of, well, the plans just fall through. It's nothing to say, doesn't say anything bad about The Miz. And he's still got that charisma and he's still got that ability. He just lost the opportunity he got. And, you know, we're stuck in WWE neutral zone where no one is getting any opportunities.
Yeah. So you really want to turn Big E face? I'm having a hard time seeing that.
Go and watch him on NXT. He has this weird ability. I don't know whether it's the fact that it's a different crowd with NXT, but he can get the people behind him as you go to YouTube. He just seems like this type of guy who can create a following behind him if given a chance to.
But okay, so basically get him away from Dolph and AJ.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have him be the one who rebels and tells them both to go take a hike.
How hard would it be to get him over that way? Would it be hard to get him over that way?
Well, not really, because then you have the opportunity, if you keep Ziggler as a heel, you know, maybe have him have some sort of alliance with Swagger, and you have you have Big E take on Swagger or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much of a pop would Big E get if he just flattened Zeb Coulter out of nowhere?
Huge.
Yeah.
Well, breaking news, apparently it's just coming in the last 20 minutes. Unfortunately, Hector Garza has passed away as a result of lung cancer. That kind of sucks.
It does.
Not to be glib about it or anything like that, but condolences going out to his family from us, naturally. Yeah. I didn't need to read that. Thanks.
I think it's time to go to break.
Yeah, well, you want to go to break or shall we go to roundtable?
Let's just go to break.
All right, why not? Everybody go listen to WTR, Sunday Night Rose Talk Radio, right here, Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go away. We're going to be back. We still got a lot more to cover, including WTR Pick'em. We'll be back right after this.
I study nuclear science. I love my classes. I got a crazy teacher. He wears dark glasses. Things are going great, and they're only getting better. I'm doing all right, getting good grades. The future's so bright. I gotta wear shades. I gotta wear shades. I got a job waiting for my graduation. $50,000 a year, I'll buy a lot of beer. Things are going great, and they're only getting better.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
plus insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The following interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once!
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
And now, haiku time, with Venegaso Diane, some dumb Aussie git.
Cheap Heat Radio. Not at all ripped off. Truly, we would never lie.
Opinions mixed. Many arguments will be had, but Lita is a slut.
Wild Talk Radio. Home of Cheap Heat Radio. Inside Braden's belly.
Views expressed within, only those of Guy talking. Standard boilerplate.
Got an indie show? Promote it on our show now. Many more people.
Wrestling gets discussed. Pop culture references made. Cheap Heat Radio.
Cheap Heat Radio. Our thoughts may not be true, but your sports team does suck.
We need ad ideas. Haikus are running their course. Next time the hosts rap.
Cheap Heat Radio. Join us at 8:30 time. 'Cause what else is on?
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
One, two, three, four.
I know what boys like. I know what guys want. I know what boys like. I got a boys like. I know what boys like. I know what guys want. I see them looking. I make them want me. I like to tease them. They want to touch me.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I
heard her entrance. Where's Lindsay?
Yeah, there it is. WTR hasn't told a bad joke in 0 minutes.
That was you telling the bad joke.
No, that was a bad joke. Shut up.
Oh, so you're admitting you told a bad joke?
No, you told the bad joke.
I don't think so.
I don't care what you think.
Even if I did tell a bad joke, you reset the counter again by telling an even worse one immediately after.
I didn't tell a bad joke after that at all.
You made a bad observational joke.
Yeah, that's. I made an observation. That wasn't a joke.
No, your observation.
All right, I'm not going to argue about this anymore. We're going to move on to the round table. God damn it.
This would be the round table. Anthony Dancy round table. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
Who deserves to be the next person inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame?
I totally forgot that was a thing.
That was a thing.
So did everybody else.
Until they announced it on Thursday when they say, at some anniversary, we're announcing the next member into our Hall of Fame.
I'll give them this. At least they go fucking slow, unlike WWE.
There you go. How about this? Just totally screw up Curtis Axel's debut as a Paul Heyman guy and induct Kurt Hennig.
Because the guy's never been in TNA.
Kurt Hennig's been in TNA.
Yes, he was. He was one of the original TNA guys.
During the Nashville days. Mm-hmm. I forgot those ones exist.
When they had the yellow ring.
Back when it was cool.
It was cool.
Too cool for TV.
That's why you had to pay $5.99 a week.
$4.99 for a pay-per-view held in a stadium where you could see the concession stand from the back row.
Yep. And the concession stand was always busier than the seats around the ring. But the wrestling was a lot better.
The wrestling was cool.
Yep.
Yeah, that was my brief time in Nashville where I got to see Road Dogg and Jeff Jarrett beat each other with pans 2 feet from me. Which was awesome.
So, okay, fine. Just for shits and giggles, I said Kurt Hennig. Who do you think, Omega?
No, yeah, Kurt Hennig for shits and giggles, I don't see it, because he wasn't there he didn't do that much there. Honestly, the name comes to mind, since they want to set themselves away from Jarrett. Mm-hmm. Ken Shamrock, first champion.
Get out of my head, Omega. Asshole.
I gotta make it tougher than that on you, Mace.
Fuck you.
Ken Shamrock.
Yeah, first ever champion that they crowned.
That would be the only reason to put him in any Hall of Fame, is the fact that he was the first champion they crowned.
Pretty much.
Yeah. He wouldn't. He doesn't deserve to be anywhere near a Hall of Fame unless he buys a ticket.
But if you're bringing in star power, does Ken Shamrock have any star power left?
Not today, he doesn't.
No.
So, he barely had any star power when he was
the champion.
Doing anything.
Back in 2002. So it kind of makes it useless to bring him in if he's not going to draw you any type of audience. Because I think that's what they're trying to do with their Hall of Fame.
What will draw an audience? It's still too early for Kurt Angle. Ric Flair.
You really think they're going to bring Ric Flair?
not right now, no. But properly, he should be the next one.
Why?
Let's face it.
Why? What did he do in TNA that deserves to be a Hall of Famer?
He walked around, strutted, and said woo a lot.
He gave AJ Styles a coat.
He gave AJ Styles a coat.
He's still active, and I don't see him retiring for quite some time yet. But would you put an active wrestler in the Hall?
Well,
it's almost at the point right now. Yeah, right. I mean, like full time. It's at the point right now. I mean, it's like way too soon for them to start doing a Hall of Fame, like after 10 years, don't you think?
But,
I mean, we had this argument when they first announced it last year.
And it was Sting, and now this, as we're going to get discussed in a little bit, Sting's fighting for the world title next Sunday.
Yeah. Definitely automatic entry would be AJ Styles, but do you put him in next?
With the storyline they're doing? No.
Yeah. Yeah, you got Hulk Hogan.
I'm going to throw a name out that people probably wouldn't think of.
Uh-oh.
Jerry Lynn. Right.
Oh, Jerry Lynn. You know what?
Pioneer of the X Division.
That makes sense. Because
as soon as you said it, that was perfect.
That's probably mm-hmm. going to be who it is, because he just retired. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and as we all know, the TNA Hall of yeah, the TNA Hall of Fame rules is you have to be on the active roster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Hulk Hogan.
No.
Unfortunately, I could see them doing that, actually. Just to turn it into an Aces and Eights angle where Hogan gets inducted and Bully jumps in and yells and screams and bitches and complains and tells people to shut their fucking mouths. Hey, put in Bully Ray.
What about not a wrestler but a manager? You know who I'm thinking about?
Scott D'Amore.
Yeah, if you're gonna put in a manager, put in Scott D'Amore.
We've got the Sinister Minister too.
That's exactly who I was thinking of. Wouldn't he more deserving to go in before Scott D'Amore?
Only if Mitchell hosts a karaoke party for his for his induction.
I could see that happening too. Not on TV, though, but at the bar afterwards.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, but wouldn't you think that Mitchell would be a good name to put in there?
Except for the fact that a lot of people would go, who?
Well, how many TNA diehard fans are there?
Six.
How many TNA fans are there?
Seven.
Eight. I'm being generous. I said eight. Because Rock watches it.
Yeah, so yep. I watch it, and Lindsay watches it. And we cover it Thursdays, 11 p.m. Eastern on the Rack.
Yeah, and see, the two of you are numbers 7 and 8.
There you go.
Yeah. So what number am I? Oh, wait, no, they don't give a shit about Strainer.
There you go.
As evident by our cable channel fucking constantly cutting episodes short to show surfing... Or moving them to a completely different time slot without telling us.
Surfing!
See, I was a TNA fan, but, you know, then they fired the cast I was in.
I didn't realize they fired the cast. I thought only Vince did that.
Well, that's why they left Nashville.
Ah. Whoops. So...
Personally, I'd like to see Jarrett go in for his contribution that his family has made to the company.
Would you put
what's
Theory
the likelihood
in?
Of that?
Sweet fuck and all.
Hmm. Yeah.
What about Jarrett?
That would be putting the name Jarrett over.
Yeah, if you're going to put in Jerry, you might as well put in Jeff and get a little bit of name value. I mean, a little bit of name value.
No slight against Jerry or anything like that.
What if you put in someone like Miss Jacqueline? A female.
They got enough room for her and her tits?
Then I was going to say Awesome Kong.
Kong didn't do enough. I mean, Gail Kim's got a better case than Kong.
I really like the idea of Jerry Jarrett since Mace brought it up.
I brought it up.
Or Jerry Lynn.
Oh, Jerry Lynn. Yeah, Jerry Lynn makes sense.
Jerry Lynn makes sense and is a guy who is worth putting in that type of situation. But because it's logical, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically we're all figuring it's probably going to be Hulk Hogan, but it should be Jerry Lynn.
Yes. We'll go with that.
Yep.
Goddamn JTV.
Because you know they're going to turn around and they're going to do the usual thing of, let's turn this into a storyline.
Yeah, that's going to suck.
So, yeah.
So there it is. Yeah, that's pretty much that's your round table for tonight, Rock.
I think we need a little question and answer time.
It's now time for this week's edition of Boy.
Yes! 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 Yes!
What's up?
No! 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 No!
Buy or sell time up first. Do you have any interest in seeing a behind-the-scenes special featuring Triple H, basically covering his day-to-day life, called The Day in the Life of the Game? Buy or sell this idea? Omega.
See, this is tough because I like any of the behind the scenes stuff of things like this. It gives me a better appreciation for the industry, what goes into it. You get to see a lot more of the people who work on this that never make it in front of the camera and make it all possible in the first place. So that interests me in that. It also sounds like it'd be boring as shit. You know, I'm going to buy it purely on an educational level.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds boring, but at least it sounds like I can get it. At least it sounds informative.
Miss, buy or sell.
Swing and a miss.
Thanks, Tim. I didn't know you changed your name. I'd probably sell this currently.
Mm-hmm.
Only because, like, I'm like Omega. I like seeing all the backstage stuff. I like seeing how, you know, everything's put together and stuff like that. Which would have been great when, you know, Triple H was wrestling on a full-time basis. Then you'd see what life on the road was like for him, and, you know, you'd see his workout routines and all that type of fun stuff. These days, it'd be like, yeah, welcome to my office. Want to see me do paperwork?
Here's where Brock smashed something.
Yeah, pretty much. It's not exactly going to be riveting television at this point. Unless he does actually come back as a full-time wrestler. Like, nobody really wants to sort of sit down and watch the production guys, you know. Nobody wants to sit in on the meetings. We've seen all that stuff before, and it didn't draw shit. What they want to see the guys on the road. They want to see them at restaurants. They want to see them doing their press tours. They want to see the workout schedules. They want to see what the life of a wrestler on the road is like. That's where the interest lies. Not, let's go to the office. We have enough TV shows like that, and particularly one called The Office.
No, we don't.
Retired.
Sadly. Disappointed.
Oh, that reminded me. At work this afternoon at the store, some guy comes walking in with a shirt on the left breast that said staff. On the right was a Dunder Mifflin patch. I looked at that. Yeah, that's awesome. He says, hey, you wouldn't believe how many people miss Dunder Mifflin and think I work at whatever store I'm in. But it was pretty awesome to see that. Anyway, yeah, there you go.
So, Tom, buy or sell?
Huh?
You know, Tom.
Who?
You.
Who?
Tom.
Who?
Tom.
No. No. They caught hell for fucking that up, and you're going to guess it too in a minute.
You thought I forgot about that, didn't you?
You should have forgot about that.
All right.
It's not funny. That's a bad joke.
No, it's funny.
Fuck. No, it wasn't funny.
Yeah. All right.
No, no, it was funny maybe to you, and that's it.
All right,
anyway, can I lease this with an option to buy?
No.
Fuck. because basically Mace pretty much and Omega sort of stated exactly what some of my worries are. Can they make it entertaining without revealing too much behind-the-scenes shit? And can they keep it from being boring-ass paperwork shuffling? That's a pretty tricky goddamn thing to do. So, as much as I'm thinking if they did it right, yeah, I'd buy it. I'm going to sell. Because you won't let me lease, you bitch.
All right, whatever, Tom. Buy or
sell. Fuck off, Scoot.
Buy or sell Always Evolve, a fitness app with Jeff Hardy.
Oh, God.
Tim, buy or
no, sell.
You're not
Jeff
interested
Hardy
in
it? No, I'm sorry, no. Jeff Hardy wouldn't even be booked for Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. He's lazy, he's sloppy, he's out of shape, he's not worth it.
But you don't want to get fitness tips from him?
How can you get fit? I can get better fitness tips from my son than from Jeff freaking Hardy. Oh, you want to stay thin, don't eat, do a lot of heroin, and sleep late.
Well, that is the Jeff Hardy workout.
There you go. No! Damn it, there's enough, there are enough problems with drugs in all these countries. I was going to say this country, but we're representing three of them here.
Yes. Omega, buy or sell.
See, the Jeff Hardy workout routine. Strap the arm, 2, 3, 4. Flick the needle, 2, 3, 4.
Stick it in, 2, 3, 4.
I don't think that's going to work.
That's what she said.
You know, I work so hard to craft these beautiful things for these people, and you just go and ruin them?
Time to reset the counter.
That was an homage to The Office. That's not a counter reset. Fuck you.
Not reset.
Nope. You're an idiot.
Anyway,
you're still an idiot.
Not Tim Omega, buy or sell.
Oh, yeah. For my smart-ass remarks, yeah, I'm sure this could still go either way. Fucking sell.
Mace.
The only worst exercise routine would be Matt Hardy's.
Don't shoot on that. He's actually smartened up a little bit in the last few months.
Only 4 Twinkies a day?
Down to 2. That's because there's a shortage.
Not for long. This will test him.
Well, he could always come to Canada. We've got tons.
So, Mace, buy or sell?
Oh, yeah, I'd totally buy it. No. See, if I was to buy it, the only reason why I'd buy it is to find out what this workout routine entails. That's the only curiosity about this entire thing. Is what is a Jeff Hardy workout routine?
So you're
a traffic expert. Because I think Omega got it pretty spot on.
So you're a traffic accident rubbernecker is what you're saying.
Pretty much. I want to see this train wreck.
Well, there is that one really rough routine at the end where you repeatedly have to climb and dive off ladders. If you have 30 reps of them, are a bitch.
Well, if you do the heroin properly, it wouldn't matter. You wouldn't feel it.
So that's the warm-up. Got it.
Yeah, the warm-up, make sure you're numb enough so it won't matter.
And there's all the things about the app, anyway.
Motion capture and 3D modeling technology.
It gets better after you guys are done that, reading that part of it.
Thank you, Trey.
Not that part.
Well, that was still funny to me.
The 4 weeks always evolve workout regimen. Mm-hmm. Okay. Slow, medium, and a fast twitch.
So this isn't actually Jeff Hardy as his workout program. It's just a workout program they've stuck, like, Jeff Hardy's video game avatar over.
For the moment, yes. It's going to also feature the likes of Chavo Guerrero at some point. And Miss Tessmacher.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Actually, Tessmacher would actually be a proper workout because she's a fitness model.
And she looks better with fully dressed than naked.
It's weird. Pretty much.
It's so weird.
Chavo, on the other hand, what would that be? Raised burrito, 2, 3, take five.
Dead uncle, 2, 3, 4. Dead uncle, 2, 3, 4, 9. Mention I'm related to Eddie, 2, 3, 4.
Stand in the shadow, 3, 4.
Bad. Bad.
He does it! If he is more disgraceful to his uncle's reputation and memory than my jokes are, then I think I'm in fair game here.
I wasn't saying you were bad. I was saying what he's doing is bad. Which is true, and you know it.
I know it. So there.
All right, so everyone sold it. Buy or sell Kane as a politician.
Oh, my God.
Can he have a big bushy beard and a stovepipe hat?
No.
Aww.
But you know what? I'd buy this only because I could see him getting into, like, the big meeting with all the senators and everything. It's like, I disagree with what you're saying, Glenn. Raises arms, drops.
Kaboom!
We need a new senator for Illinois.
Omega.
This would be the best debates ever. Jeezy. Yep.
God. I'm hearing two sets of squeeze coming from the States.
It'd be funny just to try to watch, you know, just watch one of these 5 foot nothing politicians trying to debate this 7 foot monolith. Who was known for, you know, setting people on fire and spontaneously causing explosions.
And electrocuting testicles, too, don't forget.
Yeah. Can he run for political office against Pete Rose for something?
Sure. Why
okay.
Not?
Okay.
Could you imagine if you get somebody who's like fronting up to him as like, I'm sorry, Glenn, but we're not going to allow you to do it. Don't make me get my brother.
Tim?
Oh, well, I'll buy it, but I won't vote for him because he's a libertarian, and those people are just idiots who think they know what they're talking about. Sorry, Lindsay. You realize I said that just to, like, piss her off.
I know.
This is why you're single.
No, this is why I'm not dating Lindsay.
That's also why we never invite you to Evil Apples to Apples.
What, because I wouldn't vote libertarian because they're weird?
Someone's missing the point here.
Anyway, that's buy or sell.
Rock with the escape button.
Exactly. I don't have a fancy intro for the next segment, so Tim, do something.
It's the TNA Slammiversary Pick'em. Get ready to pick your winners. There, I did something.
Yes, the winner will receive some sort of prize at some point. Everyone who
from somebody that will get mailed out to them, and they'll get it eventually.
Everyone who's gotten the prizes over the last 2 months should have had their prizes yesterday. So, there you go.
Except for that one guy.
What one guy?
The one guy who asked you where the fuck his prize was the other day.
And it came yesterday.
Okay. Everything was just double checking to make sure.
Everything was mailed out on Wednesday.
There you go. So, the rules are very simple. We're going to just give you the match, pick who's going to win, and can't get in, so we'll record it. And then after the pay-per-view, we'll say, hey, guess what? You got this many points and you won, you dumbass.
Yes,
only we won't call you a dumbass,
yeah,
whatever.
We'll call you a dumbass, yes. The goal for everyone in Pick'em is to do better than either Rob or Subway.
Yeah, those fuckers never watch anything, especially TNA, and they go fucking perfect 8-0. Yes, I'm pointing out Rob.
Yeah, so
he scares the fuck out of me because, I don't know, he's clairvoyant or something.
So your benchmark is to beat them.
Okay, what the fuck was that?
I don't know,
too. Yeah, you can't beat a couple of stoners.
Clearly.
So there you go. And yeah, if you beat me to gloat, then you're not aiming very fucking high, by the way.
Because it's
Kingen.
Not very hard.
It's easy to beat me. Especially when we're doing TNA, because I really don't watch TNA.
So start start from the bottom and then we'll work our way up to him.
Start from the bottom?
Mm-hmm.
With the Gut Check Tournament Final, Jay Bradley takes on Sam Shaw.
The winner of this match is going to be involved in the Bound for Glory series.
All right, so there you go. Pick a winner, Rock.
Sam Shaw, because Jay Bradley's too generic.
All right, Omega.
Who are the names?
Jay Bradley and Sam Shaw.
Sam Shaw, I don't care.
There you go. Okay. Now, you remember, you don't have to explain why you picked who you picked. Just pick them. Those of you playing along in the chat room live, just post your picks in the chat room so Kane Kittens can record them. And for those of you listening to the archives, I'll tell you a little bit later how to get your picks in.
But, Tim, I can give an explanation if I want to.
Well, it's just a waste of airtime, and shut up. Mace.
So which ones don't know and which ones don't care?
That's up to you.
Let's go with Jay Bradley. So
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was just going to say.
But typically it's I don't know versus I don't care.
Yeah. Well, as far as your I don't know goes, I don't care who you pick for you don't know, and I don't know who you don't care about. So. I'll say Sam Shaw, because it's a nicer, it's fun to say his name. Say it three times fast.
No.
Sam Shaw.
You couldn't even do it. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, you try it, jackass.
No. Go ahead, Tim. Next match.
No, not until somebody says it three times fast.
It three times fast. Move the fuck on.
Point Omega.
Yeah, okay, no, he gets a field goal for that one. Give him three.
Right, three.
Taryn Terrell squares off against Gail Kim. I'm picking Gail Kim, Mace.
Yeah, let's go with the Asian.
Okay, there you go. Omega.
Gail.
Okay, she's Canadian, by the way. Rock.
Doesn't mean she's not Asian, too.
She's Canadian. She's hyphenated to Asian.
She's Canadian.
Canadian, there you go. And you guys say my jokes are bad. Rock, pick!
For now, Gail Kim.
Alright. Kenny King takes on Chris Sabin in Suicide to defend the X Division Championship. Omega.
And it's an Ultimate X match. You should point that out.
Oh, yeah, by the way, it's an Ultimate X match. Omega.
Okay. Yeah, this is how well I remember names. Who's the champion?
Kenny King.
Kenny King.
Kenny King, oh yeah. And we got Chris Sabin and whoever the fuck's under the suicide mask that week.
TJ Perkins at this point.
No idea.
Sabin.
Mace.
Sabin!
Rock.
Redemption story goes to Sabin.
It's a unanimous pick on the panel, Chris Sabin.
Just picked him because he's a Final Fantasy VI character.
Okay, good for you. You'll get a cookie. D-Von defends the TNA Television Championship against Joseph Park. Rock.
Joseph Park, of course.
Mace.
The winner and new TNA Television Champion, Joseph Park!
Omega?
Yeah, let's go with Park.
Yeah, Park. Same here. All right. 4-team elimination match. Tag Team Championship match. You got Chavo and Hernandez defending the titles against Christopher Daniels and Kazarian, Austin Aries and Bobby Roode, and Cowboy James Storm with Gunner, Mace.
Storm and Gunner.
Rock.
Daniels and Kazarian.
Okay. Omega?
Daniels, Kazarian.
I'm going to say Aries and Roode.
So none of us think that the Mexicans will retain. Got it.
Yeah, sorry, Dead Eddie.
mind you, if Daniels and Kazarian win, we're going to hold them to their promise of championship suspenders.
Mm-hmm. Who are suspenders, goddammit.
There you go. Okay, AJ Styles, Kurt Angle.
AJ Styles.
Omega.
AJ.
Rock.
So we found out dead air means Mace. AJ Styles.
I'm going to say Kurt Angle, just for the fuck of it. Bully Ray defends TNA World Heavyweight Championship against Sting. Build his Sting's last shot. Omega.
Bully.
Rock.
Bully.
Mace.
Bully.
And it's unanimous because I'm going to pick Bully too. And there it is, TNA Slammiversary Pick'em. Those of you listening to the archive, to get your picks in, you can post it on the Facebook page, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Network.
Network, Wild Talk Radio Network. You can email media@wildtalkradio.com. You can email kingkittens@wildtalkradio.com. You can tweet us @wildtalkradio.
And put them in our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/wildtalkradio network.
There you go. And so you got all those ways to get the pick'ems. Get them in as soon as you can, and we'll go from there and see if anybody wins anything and what it will be. We'll let you know.
We'll get something from Memly and promo.com at some point to give away.
So yeah. There you go.
You got till about 5, 6 p.m. on Sunday to get them in.
Yep.
Changes
Eastern
made,
time.
Eastern time and changes made by Saturday.
Yep. That being said, time for the great debate.
Welcome to this week's Great Debate. Join the hosts as they debate the greatest WWE champion of all time.
When that bell rings and the match is over, you are looking at the next WWE champion, and that's the
This belongs to me, and this you earn. With blood, with sweat, with tears, and for 428 days, I have done just that. I have earned this. I have earned the right to be called champion. I have earned the right to be the man.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's great debate.
Sergeant Slaughter versus Rob Van Dam. Omega.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yes, Austin, what?
Ay, ay, ay. Jeez. You know, honestly, it's going to come off as Markish, but I'm giving it to RBD.
Why?
Here's why. Because he won the belt doing something interesting. It was one night. It was one night stand. He's the one man to, like before Cena. He's the first guy to actually cash in his belt, his Money in the Bank, in a more dignified manner than, oh, he's half crippled. Time to cash in. You know, his one-night stand is a great moment because the crowd was so hysterically against Cena.
And I wanted the riot, damn it. Just for the chaos.
Yeah, well, instead we got some hysterical chants and a guy wiping his ass with Cena's shirt. No, but I give it to RVD because it's a little bit more interesting. Yeah, he screwed up, so the title reign lasted all of 3 weeks. But he's the only dual world champion in the WWE's history books. He can't take that away from him. And honestly, I always felt Sergeant Slaughter just got the belt to give Hulk Hogan somebody to fight for it. You know, that's pretty much the only reason he had it, so Hulk Hogan could beat him up. Whoopee.
So the Mark and Omega picks Rob Van Dam, Mace.
I too am going for Rob Van Dam. Mainly because, at least for me, it was more memorable. You know, I still get a good giggle out of the first night on ECW where you got Rob Van Dam with the spinner belt and the ECW title, and he still loves the spinner belt because, well, it spins. Slaughter, as Omega said, he was basically there for Hogan to take the belt off. It was more politically driven than actually, you know, a title reign for actually rewarding somebody.
Okay, then. Tim.
Yeah, pretty much what those guys said. I'm picking RVD. In addition, you know, Slaughter was just like, here, go get your ass handed to you. And RVD, let's face it, even though he had the money in the bank and all this other stuff building up to the pay-per-view, people were still surprised that they actually put the WWE title on him. So, you know, just for the surprise factor as well.
Okay. Next, Big Show versus Diesel. Mace.
Diesel. Because I never enjoyed a Big Show title reign.
Clear and to the point, Omega.
Diesel because he broke Big Show's neck.
That didn't happen with the title.
I know it didn't happen for the title, but it's an amusing.
It happened, and that's why he's picking him.
It's an amusing way of visualizing my opinion here. I'm with Mace. I never saw a Big Show title reign that really did anything for me.
Okay, Tim.
I'd like to be able to pick neither one of these fuckers, actually, to tell you the truth. Diesel didn't really draw or interest me. And Big Show was like, he's more entertaining when he doesn't have the belt. But seeing as you're going to fucking press for an answer, I'll say Diesel.
Well, it really didn't matter because they picked two for Diesel, so your opinion really wasn't matter there. Anyway.
I don't give a fuck. Shut up.
So Diesel and Rob Van Dam advance in the great debate. Next week it is Billy Graham taking on Eddie Guerrero and Pedro Morales taking on CM Punk.
That's fair.
So there you go. That's that, Tim.
Well, I'm happy for you. What do you want, a cookie?
No.
Oh, well, fine. Then let's just do quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Mace, what is the greatest wrestling move of all time?
Greatest wrestling move of all time? The armbar.
I was thinking that.
I was waiting for that. Now we get a real answer.
Greatest wrestling move of all time? I'd have to say the suplex.
Why?
Because it's one of the most standard moves in wrestling, yet there's always a different way to do it. You've got your fisherman suplex, you've got brainbusters, standard suplex, you know, the old catch and catch and release suplex. It's one of these moves that has been very versatile, and if you want to make it look even more spectacular, you go to the top rope. It is one of the safest moves in the business, yet still one of the most amazing to see. You know, how many times have you seen guys like Goldberg and Brock Lesnar pick up the Big Show in a suplex and march around the ring with them? Mm-hmm. You know, that to me is more. It's more of a feat and a spectacular thing to see than even some of the other moves that are out there. Mm-hmm. And I know Kane Kittens are saying the Canadian Destroyer, but remember the question is wrestling move, not finisher.
That's the twist.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, what part of a car best represents you?
What part of the car best represents me?
Mm-hmm.
What part of a car?
Yep. Good one, Omega.
What part of a car? The stereo.
Why? The stereo.
Because it fucking said so.
No, a legit answer to.
What?
A legit reason why, not because you said so.
The stereo plays nothing but crap and is too loud on most occasions.
Okay then, we'll go with that. Because Tim didn't come up with a creative answer on his own. Gets exist. And he hangs up. Wow.
Oh, you wuss.
Wow. Wow. Fail, Tim. Fail. Anyway, Omega, what kitchen appliance best represents WTR?
Let's see. Best appliance for WTR. I'm sorry, I'm having fun as you try to reconnect to him.
I know, this is amusing.
He just keeps hanging back up.
So this is going to annoy the shit out of him. Jeez. You know.
I'm going with the blender.
Hey, Jersey Girl said that too.
Because it's a very versatile tool, and it's meant for many things to create concoctions of which are supposed to be enjoyable. But more often than not, you're just throwing shit together or trying to make up something to get drunk off of.
Well, there you go. Reyes, what is the worst name for a championship belt?
The worst name for the championship belt.
Mm-hmm. Jim.
to be honest, like, it's hard to work out because a lot of places these days have the exact same thing. You know, you have your world or heavyweight title, you have your intercontinental title, TV title, internet title, all these stock standard, nobody ever actually gets creative. So there's not really anything to stand out as a bad name, because all the names are just so fucking generic that they're all the same bloody thing. So there's not... I can't really give you an answer. Unless you can give me some examples.
Coming up with random shit.
Yeah. I'm sorry to spoil your question, but that's the honest truth.
That works. You at least gave a reason. Not just hanging up. You just didn't hang up. Because someone didn't like the question. Or the joke after the question.
Now he's just letting it ring.
Yeah, I know. Omega's enjoying this, aren't you?
It's because somebody doesn't like being picked on. What's the rule on network? If we don't pick on you, we don't like you.
Yeah. So, we'll go with Omega to finish this off, because it's pointless at this point to go to Tim, because this is his show. And he's abandoning his show, like always. Anyway, Omega, if you could run for political office, what is the one, the first promise you will actually make to people?
First promise, if I'm elected to political office, tax breaks for blowjobs. Hear me out. Hear me out.
Whatever you say, Bill.
Hear me out.
Okay.
Because, well, this way, number one, I'm helping a lot of relationship problems. Okay, and more importantly, I'm finding a solution to the overpopulation problem.
I get. And since you're a politician, you lie, so it'll never happen.
No, this one has to go through, that way I can get away with it too.
That's WTR, because somebody doesn't want to pick up their phone and, you know, talk on his show. You know, that sort of thing.
So, what's coming up this week on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Rock?
You know, it's Raw Post Show tomorrow night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, with myself and Lindsay Ward. We'll talk about Raw in about 45 minutes, so check it out. Tuesday night, KFA Wrestling Radio with the one, the only Alan Wojcik on the program. We will be speaking to Gam Grell and Paul Diamond. Wednesday night, Cheap Heat Radio with Scott Barry and Matthew Forsina. Thursday night, The Rack with myself and Lindsay Ward at 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap Impact, preview Slammiversary, and whatever else we decide to do. It's The Rack. Love you, Easter. Right here, Thursdays. You can check it out at rackradioshow.com. Friday, gaming continues on hiatus. What's the deal, Mace?
We shall see later on the week. I shall keep an eye on the Facebook page when I will work something out, because everything's up in the air at the moment in terms of what to do.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, is CB Radio. We do the weird, the wacky, the unusual. We had a lot long music discussion this past Saturday night, so you want to check it out at the archives right here at WildTalkRadio.com. We'll be back next Sunday night for another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio at 11 p.m. Eastern, covering Slammiversary. Omega, plug your stuff.
Well, if you Google TJ Omega, you'll pretty much find everything I do. That is my name on YouTube, my name on Twitter, and not my name on Facebook because some douchebag stole it from me. So that's facebook.com/TJReviews instead.
So if you get called by the cops, you're going to do what Amanda Bynes did and say, Google me?
She do that?
Yeah, she was trying to get on an airplane. Her ID is expired. So to confirm her identification, that she said, Google me.
Because that's legally binding.
It happened. It's real. Sadly. Follow Mace on Twitter at The Mace Thing. Follow Lindsay on Twitter at Lynn's Ward. Check out her website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check out WTRProductions.net. Go to twitter.com/wildtalkradio, facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork. We'll be back next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night with Tim Omega and myself, as apparently everyone hung up on this show. So, good night, everybody.
Yeah. WildTalkRadio.com.
So you decide to hang up to be cool?